Well, I am so excited to be with you this morning, especially coming off our amazing Radiate Women's Conference. It's my joy and privilege to be with you. You know, as I'm looking out to this audience, some of you I know really well, some of you I've never met, and the rest of you are kind of somewhere in between on that continuum. But even though I may not know all of you, I can tell you that I know three things about you. Number one, your greatest joys in your life have come from something to do with relationships. A relationship with a spouse or a family member or a child or a loved one. Your greatest joy in your life has something to do with a relationship. And number two, I know that your greatest heartaches have something to do with relationship. With a marriage, with a child, with a family of origin, with a friendship, with a coworker, your greatest heartache has something to do with relationships. And number three, you need hope for your relationships. I know that because all of us find ourselves in the same boat. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about building hope for our relationships. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 4, because the Apostle Paul is going to unpack for us how do we actually have hope for our relationships. The passages will be up on the screen. If you have your Bible, you're going to want to mark this one, because this is a go-to passage for how to have hope and healthy relationships. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32 says these words. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and then separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old desires, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you. In this powerful passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul unfolds for us, how do we actually have hope in our relationships? Now, I was talking to our daughter Ashton last night, standing in the kitchen, and she recounted for me a conversation that she overheard at the gym yesterday. So she's in the locker room at the gym, and there was a group of gals about her age, and they were having this conversation. Now, one of them had had some sort of relational problem with their boyfriend. So she was telling the group of girls this problem, and all of them were giving their input about how they thought this girl should respond. And as Ashton was listening, she was thinking, I don't know that they're giving her such great advice. And at one point, the girl who had been hurt in this relationship said, you know, if he's going to do that to me, I'm just going to do that right back to him. And as Ashton was telling me the story, she goes, you know, Mom, I think she was trying to make an immediate decision just to get rid of the hurt, but she wasn't thinking about the real root issue. And I thought, wow, how old are you? And it reminded me, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is trying to say in this passage. You see, basically what he's saying here is there are two ways to do relationships. He says, I'm going to tell you something, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you no longer walk like the Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. And a Gentile represents a non-believer. So in other words, what he's saying is this. There are two ways to do relationships. You can do relationships like them, like the world, or you can do relationships like him. And those are the two ways we all do relationships. We either do them like them or we do them like him. And all of us have that same choice. Interestingly, when the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to insist on it in the Lord, that you put aside all this futility of your thinking. He says the Gentiles are darkened in their understanding. That word understanding, it literally comes from the word diameter, which means from one point to the next. It means thinking something through all the way through. It means thinking through the consequences of your behavior, of your actions, of your words. And you see, what happens is the world will tell us, just react. But God says, no, respond. The world will tell you, just act on your instincts. But God's word said, no, act on insight. See, there's a futility of the thinking that the world tells us. But then along comes Paul, and he says, listen, I insist that you don't live that way. Do you know that this is a really, really personal passage? In fact, 15 times the Apostle Paul says, the word you. In other words, what he's saying is, this is how you should do relationships. This is how I should do relationships. This is how I should do my relationship with my husband, JP. It's how I should do my relationship with my children. It's how I should do my relationships with my friends. It's how you should do your relationships too. All of us have the same choice. Every one of us in this room have the same choice. We can do our relationships like them, or we can do our relationships like him. And let me just tell you something. If we do our relationships like them, there's going to be no hope. But if we choose to do our relationships like him, guess what? Our relationships start to be infused with hope, which is what the world is looking for. And so he goes on, and then he sort of unpacks, well, what does this mean? How do we do this? How do we actually live in such a way in real life that we're doing our relationships like him? Well, he tells them, starting in verse 25, he says, therefore, each of you must put aside falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. You can have hope for your relationships if you speak truthfully. That's just the bottom line. Now, here's what I think is so interesting about that. Truth is like the foundation for all healthy relationships. I mean, you can't have a healthy relationship if there's no truth. Now, that's not a newsflash to anyone in this room. All of us know that, don't we? And yet, you know what? Truth is the number one thing missing from relationships, especially in our culture. It's so missing that we actually have words for the missing component of truth. Words like, well, let's just not talk about the elephant in the room. Or, how can we spin that? Or, how can we create the narrative around this? Or, I'm just living my truth. Hey, gang, if you're just living your truth, that's a shoddy way to live, because your truth is going to change in another hour. We can't be living based on our truth if we had living based on his truth. See, this has really pervaded our whole culture. And what we can do is we can look at how our culture has changed and how everything's a spin, everything's a narrative, everything is, you know, avoidance. And we can look at our culture and say, wow, this is unhealthy. But what I want us to grip this morning is that same thing that's happening out there, if we're not careful, will be happening in here. And in our relationships, in our family, in our workplaces, in our friendships. There are two ways to do relationships. You can do them like that. You can do your relationships like them, or you can do your relationships like him. And he says, you want to have hope in your relationships? Speak truthfully to each other. Put aside falsehood. Stop the lying. Stop the spin. Stop the secrets. Stop the avoidance. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. I was in Costco several years ago and was at their book table, kind of thumbing through a book, and I came across this book called The Speed of Trust. And in this book, the author talks about the fact that any organization, its success rises or falls on how much people trust each other. And the faster and the better an organization trusts each other, the coworkers trust each other, the clients trust you. I mean, that just raises productivity and it raises success. The speed of trust. It's the same thing for a friendship, for a marriage, for a parent and child. When I know that I can trust you and you know you can trust me and my kids know they can trust me and husbands and wives trust each other, it raises the bar. It makes an environment for success. So how are you doing in this area? How are you doing in this area? Do you have secrets? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you have secrets, secrets only separate. You will never have the hope-filled relationships you so want as long as you do your relationships like them and not like him. There is something that's so beautiful that happens in relationships where people trust each other. You know, the word for speak truthfully, it literally means to say or to chatter. In other words, it's talking about just the normal way that we relate. It's like, I'm an honest person. You can trust what I say. I'm authentic. Boy, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. As I was thinking about this, I started thinking about JP, and I just was laughing because he's like the most authentic person that I've... I don't even know if he knows how to lie, to be honest with you. I don't even know. In fact, our daughter Kylie told me one time, I was about 10 years old before I even knew Daddy ever sinned. And she knew I sinned when she was 10 months old. But, you know, he just is a really honest person. Do you know what a gift that is to be married to someone like that? Do you know what a gift that is to be a friend with someone like that? Do you know what a gift it is to have your pastor be someone like that? See, there's two ways to do our relationships. You can do it like them, or you can do it like him. And if you want hope in your relationships, stop avoiding. Stop saying falsehood. Stop keeping secrets. Speak truthfully in love. But there's a second thing that the Apostle Paul says. He says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. If you want to have hope in your relationships, you can have hope if you deal with your conflict appropriately. See, I don't care how great of a relationship you have with a friend, with a coworker, with a neighbor, with a spouse, with a child. There's going to be conflict. That's just part of life. And so the Bible says, hey, be angry, but in your anger, don't sin. And don't let the sun go down in your anger, and don't let the devil give a foothold. Well, how in the world do you deal with anger and yet you don't sin? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, you speak the truth. Because sometimes we get angry over things that we're not even really angry about. You know, the real issue is somebody's tired or they're hungry or they're stressed out. And what's happening is, and this is really happening, there's so much brokenness in the world around us. And we're just getting it all the time that what's happening out there starts to affect what's happening in here. And then it affects what's happening right here. And so sometimes we end up angry and we're angry over things we're not even really angry about. It's the outside stresses of the world. And so you gotta know what you're angry about, but then it says, be angry and yet don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, resolve your conflicts. Don't let things build up. Man, if people would just do this one thing, I am telling you, half of our relationship heartache would be taken away. Because here's what happens. Something happens between you and somebody that you're in a relationship with. It could be a friend. It could be a roommate. It could be a coworker. It could be a spouse. It could be a child. It could be an extended family member. Something happens. Your feelings are hurt. You're angry. You're disappointed. And you have these feelings of anger. But instead of addressing it, you avoid it. And every time you avoid it and you don't resolve your conflict in a healthy way, it's like you're taking a brick and you're putting it right in front of you and that person. And so now there's this brick between you and the person that you're in relationship with. But, you know, a brick is small. It's not a big deal. Life goes on, right? You gotta go to work. You gotta go to the grocery store. You gotta pay your bills. But a couple weeks go by, and then something else happens. And instead of addressing it and resolving it, you put another brick right on top of it. But again, life goes on, and you're busy. But then 3 weeks later, something else happened, and you put another brick. And pretty soon, what you do is you take one brick and another brick and another brick and another brick, and all of this unresolved conflict builds up. And do you know what happens? You can no longer even see the person that you're in relationship with. All you see is the wall of unresolved hurt, unresolved bitterness, unresolved conflict separating you and them. And that is why people look in their relationships and they think, there's no hope. I don't even know where to start. And that's why they get out, because they don't know what to do. Did it happen all at once? No. It happened because they did not do their relationships like him. They did it like them. So if that's you this morning, what do you do? Well, you start to tear down that wall one brick at a time, just like it was built. The next conflict that happens, you make a commitment to resolve it. You make a commitment to work it through, and you remove that brick. And the next time it happens, you remove that brick, and you just keep removing it. See, this is how healthy people do healthy relationships. And here's the thing. It absolutely breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that there are people out there, there are probably people in here that feel so discouraged by your relationships, that feels like, does anybody even have a loving relationship? Is there any hope? That's why people aren't getting married, because they think, well, I mean, the likelihood that it ends in divorce, I mean, why should we even get married? Because so many people come from so much brokenness. They don't even know that there's a possibility that people could actually get married and love each other more years later than they did on the day they got married. They don't understand that parents could actually love and like their kids, and kids could actually love and like their parents, or that siblings could like each other. They don't know it because they haven't seen it. See, that's why we're not raising $4.5 million just to build a building. We're raising $4.5 million to build hope. Hope for people who do not know that this is possible. You wonder, what can I do for the generation that's coming after me, the generation that doesn't even know how to do this? You get on board with this and realize this is what we're providing. That's why we have Get Healthy classes. That's why we have marriage mentoring programs. That's why we have an amazing kids program and amazing youth programs. It's all because this is at the heartbeat of who we are as people, and it's the heartbeat of what God wants for us, is to have these healthy, life-giving relationships. And so we commit to do our relationships not like them, because there's no hope in that. We commit to do our relationships like him. And he says, you want to do relationships the right way, the hope-filled way? Well, then you speak truthfully to your neighbor. And you don't let the sun go down on your anger. You don't give the devil a foothold. In the original language, it's opportunity or place. So let me ask you a question. Have you given the devil a place in your relationship? Because if you have, today is the day you kick him to the curb. Today's the day you make a decision. I will not live like them. I will live like him. And it will make all the difference in your relationships. So he says, you speak truthfully to each other. You be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then he goes on and he gives a third way that we can have hope in our relationships. He says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. In other words, work to be a giver, not a taker. See, the world, them, you know what they'll tell you? Oh, baby, be a taker. Don't be a giver. Do that for your spouse. They're grown up. Let them do it for themselves. Do that for your kids. Our kids are resilient. They'll get over it. All of that is, it's just ultimately self-centered. And Jesus comes along and he shows us this radical way to do life. And everything about Jesus was modeling being a giver and not a taker. And if you want hope in your relationships, work at being a giver, not a taker. When our son Taylor and Becca got married last year, they wrote their own vows. And one of the things that just stood out in my mind that they said as they stood and they held hands is they said, I will seek to understand more than I seek to be understood. And when they said that, it was like a light bulb went on in my mind. Because that's what this is talking about. Seek to be a giver and not a taker. And then there's a fourth thing. He says in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You see, there are two ways to motivate people. You can either praise your people up or you can put your people down. And all of us have had both of those happen to us. We've had people praise us up, encourage us. We've also had people put us down. But God's way is to praise people up. It's to build people up. And by the way, did you know that God never puts you down? God never puts you down. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not one time will you ever find that Jesus ever put anyone down. Not one. Now, he spoke the truth, and he spoke the truth in love, but he never put anyone down. See, the way we do relationships his way is we build people up with our words. We build people up with our body language. Because did you know that you can put people down without a word? Without a word. All you have to do is cross your hands and roll your eyes. And you're putting them down. All you have to do is stay on that cell phone. And you're putting people down. This is part of our culture. Look around. Look on social media. Look on Twitter, look on Facebook. Our world, the way they do relationships, it is to put people down. And it is taking us down. And it is time that we take what the Apostle Paul said, I insist on this in the Lord, that you do not do your relationships like them. You do your relationships like him. And you start building your people up. I was at the a mini market a couple months ago. I went in just to grab a water bottle. And I was in the mini market not even 30 seconds. And along came a mom with about 8 kids. And all of them, 7 of them were boys, and one was a girl. And so you know how middle schoolers are. I mean, middle school boys are just squirrely. I mean, they just are. So they, you know, they're all excited. They're there to get their after school snack, and they're opening the doors and trying to figure out which drink they want. And they're looking at all the Twinkies and, you know, all the junk that they could get for snacks. And they really were not being bad at all. They were not. They were just being 6th and 7th and 8th grade boys. But I could tell the mom was getting really flustered, and she was kind of getting agitated and a little irritable. And she was like, oh, boys, hurry up. Boys, come on. Boys, okay, just calm down. You know, and I thought, they're fine. They really are fine. So we were all paying for our goodies. You know, they had a stack full of stuff on the counter, and I'm standing there with my water bottle waiting. And I could overhear what she said to them. And she looks at the boys and she was like, ugh, you boys are just awful. You're just awful. And then there was the one girl that was with her. And she looked to be about 13. She's probably in eighth grade. And then she looked at her mom and she goes, but I'm not mom, am I? And the mom looked at her daughter and went, ugh, you're the worst. Now everybody gasps. But every one of us has done something like that. When I saw the facial expression on that little girl, it broke my heart. And see, gang, that's the way people do relationships sometimes. We don't think from one side to the other. We don't think how our words are going to affect our relationship. And when we live like that, the Bible says, you are darkened in your understanding. But that's not the way you were called. Because you were called, you were created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You were called to a different standard. And let me just tell you, the world needs to know there's hope, that you could actually have healthy, life-giving, truth-filled, conflict-resolving, encouraging, giving relationships, that is actually possible. That's what we want to create here. That's it, gang. Because the world needs it, and I need it, and you need it, and we all need it. And so he ends this by saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I'm going to stop right there. If you've ever experienced any level of heartbreak because of a relationship, the Holy Spirit has experienced it even more for you. Because do you know that when we don't live our relationships like him and we live it like them, it actually grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He has so much more for his people. And he says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. We have two choices. We can do our relationships like them and experience a profound loss of hope. Or we as the people of God can do our relationships like him and experience the health and the hope that he has intended for us. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for your word, your holy, life-infusing, life-transforming, precious word. Lord, I pray for every person here, every person, married, single, young, old, in a place where their relationships are bringing them joy or a place where their relationships are just tearing them to pieces. God, I pray that every single person in this room would make a commitment not to do their relationships like the world, like them, but they would look at you and say, I'm going to do my relationships like him, like Jesus Christ. God, would you give these people, give me, give us the people of God, and give this community hope for healthy relationships. In Jesus' holy and powerful and mighty name, I pray. Amen.